This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Faith Promise is a celebration of the partnerships that we have with our family members around the world, committed to bringing a life-changing connection with Jesus to the communities that they've been called to. Those partnerships are made possible by your faithful giving and prayerful support. Faith Promise is about you connecting with God's heart for the nations. Because you're sold out to God's mission, we have partnerships in over 20 countries and over 50 Savannah Christians on the front lines of the mission field today. Because we believe that God's mission for the world is one of relentless redemption, we will not stop until it's complete and Jesus returns. Love is your heart beating the way God's does for the lost. Love is being willing to give out of our abundance so that others can have abundant life. Love is praying for people you will never meet this side of heaven. Love is your son or your daughter giving up their monthly allowance so a little boy in Guatemala, their same age, can grow to be a man that breaks the cycle of generational sin and abuse and neglect in his village. So a couple right here in Savannah can mentor and support and love youth who can't see the amazing plans God has for them because of the violence and abuse that lies around them. Love is Central India Christian Mission, a ministry you support in a country of over 1.2 billion people, of which over 96% are Hindu or Muslim. Love is doctors Ajay and Indu Lal risking their lives to preach the name of Jesus in the face of violent persecution because they know he is the only hope for their people in our world. Love is over 1,000 churches that have been planted because of their relentless pursuit of the lost in India. Love is an organization called SEBA, the Bible Academy built because of the faith promise of Savannah Christians. Since its founding in 2009, SEBA has educated and sent out over 50 local pastors to evangelize in some of the most dangerous and remote places of India, Nepal, Bangladesh, and the Kingdom of Bhutan. Love is these pastors willing to lay down their lives for their people. And love is the prayer and financial support given faithfully by their Savannah Christian family so that they can pursue this high calling. Love is waking up every day to live our lives proclaiming that Jesus is our King. No name is higher, no love is greater. And when we sell out and serve Him with everything we've got and more, well, love is you and love is me.
Friends, I am so excited about our communicator tonight. I get to introduce to you one of my friends that I've known for a long, long time. I think Ajay and I met for the first time in 1994, and we really have had a great friendship ever since. He's here for our Faith Promise Conference, and you've got a Faith Promise pledge card on your chair when you came in today. I hope you will not fill this out. I hope you won't do anything with this card except take it home and pray about it. We're going to be talking next weekend about how we support our international ministries, and you'll hear a little bit more about that then. But just take this card home, put it on the dinner table, and just ask, Lord, what do you want me to do for global outreach this year? You're going to hear a little bit about what those dollars and what those prayers will do when Brother Ajay comes to share with us. He's here with his wife, Indu. They have four beautiful children. They have four grandchildren. He's a lot older than he looks. He really is, I'm telling you. He has written this book, Christian Extremism, which talks about how the love of Christ can overcome even the kind of persecution that they're experiencing in India from both Hindu and Muslim extremists. He talks in this book and he talks in his ministry about how the gospel literally is going across national borders into Afghanistan. People are coming to know Christ in some of the most difficult places in the world. Friends, this is the kind of family that we're partnering with on almost every continent of the world. I hope you'll give Brother Ajay a warm Savannah Christian welcome as he comes to share with us the Word of God today. Here we go.
Thank you.
I love you, brother. I love you, Tom. Okay, man.
Thank you. It's a great honor and privilege to be part of the Faith Promise weekend of Savannah Christian Church. And I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters who live in the country of India and in the country of Nepal and Bhutan and the country of Bangladesh and also in the country of Afghanistan, as Central India Christian Mission is reaching these five countries. I'm thankful to Brother Cam Huxford for his love and encouragement and prayers and all that he means to us and to our family and to the ministry. I'm grateful to Brother Dave Stewart for many, many years continuing to serve us and love us and host us. I'm privileged to be partners with Savannah Christian Church. I'm privileged to have my wife Indu and our oldest daughter Abhinita and her husband Greg and their children Usha and Aiden with us. And we look forward to be with you and just celebrate with you what God is doing. Every time I remember in last 20 years when I have been to this congregation, I have been telling that how we have we are one of the largest countries on the face of this earth. We have 1.3 billion people, and we have about 20 million babies being born every year. And I've been saying that Christians are less than 2%. Recently, I was meeting with the evangelical leaders in New Delhi. We had a meeting of Evangelical Fellowship of India, and they have done an extensive survey, and they came and they shared some numbers. And they said in last decade, the number of Christians in India has grown from 2% to 8%. And I'm just thankful to God that in spite of barriers and disappointments and persecution and oppositions and murders of the preachers and burning of the church buildings, Jesus Christ continues to bring thousands and thousands of people to his feet, and we are thankful that he has allowed us to be part of this ministry. So we come to you with grateful heart. We come to you with much gratitude, and we are thankful for the tremendous partnership. I'm sharing few things from the scriptures, but I want you to know that when you give sacrificially, when you give to Lord, how it impacts millions and millions of people around the globe. You know, it's very easy to come and see. And when I came here and saw, it's overwhelming how things are growing in Savannah and on different campuses and the new building and the new plans. And hundreds and thousands of believers are coming to accept Jesus Christ. But I want you to see that when you give sacrificially, when you make this faith promise, your giving, your sacrifice, your prayers, your generosity affects thousands and thousands of people across the globe. So I would like to share with you from the gospel according to Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, I will be reading. And then we will go on from there and see the theme of this this faith promise. And it says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. And as the story goes on, we find that when Jesus saw their faith, the very first thing he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." This man received spiritual healing. He not only received spiritual healing, but he received physical healing. He received much more than what was expected as we go further into the story. In this story, there are four categories of people that we find. Four categories that are present today in our world. The very first category is represented by the person, by this man who was paralyzed. This man was paralyzed. He was not able to help himself. He was not able to move. This man probably did not have any plans, any dreams. He was hopeless, in a hopeless situation, and he was waiting for his death. Can you imagine being in that state? And we live in the world where still there are millions and millions of people who are considered unreached. And that's the biggest challenge that we have. It is believed that there are about 2 billion people on the face of this earth that are unreached. And when I say unreached, that means they do not have any scriptures ever translated into their language. That means they do not have any Christian witness available to them. That means they don't have any church in their region. That means that they have never heard about Jesus Christ. It is difficult to imagine that there are millions of people. And when you consider that part of the globe, India and Pakistan and Nepal and Bhutan and Afghanistan and Bangladesh and Maldives and Myanmar, 95% people are considered unreached in that region. So there are more people who know about Osama bin Laden and who have tasted Coca-Cola, who know our country leader, Mr. Modi, than the name of Jesus Christ. We Christians sitting after 2,000 years of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and is still saying that there are millions of people who have never heard about Jesus Christ. Savannah Christian Church has a significant role that you have been playing in the city of Darjeeling. And Darjeeling is on our northeastern border. It is such a significant city that is connected with several countries. You can go to Nepal, you can go to Bhutan, you can go to Tibet, you can go to Bangladesh, you can go to China even through that region. And that region is located in the area of where there are tea gardens, and it is at the foothills of Himalayas mountains. And in that region, when you go there, there's a Bible college that Savannah Christian Church has established. We have about 3 acres of land, and there's a Bible college. People are coming from the neighboring countries, and they are learning about church planting. They are learning about disciples making, and they are going back to their countries and planting the church. Hundreds of graduates have come out of both of our Bible colleges. I was telling Brother Cam that just this year alone, we have 102 young people who have graduated and who are committed to church to plant churches in the unreached areas. But you go to the city of Darjeeling, and it's a capital of human trafficking. And according to the document that was presented by our government, and which is at the table of our parliament, which says, please hear me clearly, that every day 200 to 250 girls under the age of 15 are sold into human trafficking every day in the city of Darjeeling. It is a capital of human trafficking. My children are working there. Abhinita and Greg, who are here, they have started a program reaching out in those brothel communities and helping the children and the women in that area so they can be self-supporting, so they can have their identity. They will have their self-worth. One of the things that broke our hearts when our people went there and when our team went there is to see that there was a brothel of 1,300 prostitutes who are part of that brothel, and that brothel is run by the criminals, by the mafia, and it's a very difficult situation. But Greg and Abhinita were able to buy a piece of that brothel where they are serving these women and children. One of the things that was heartbreaking to see, there are 300 children in that brothel. And those 300 children were literally thrown into a dark dungeon every day for 10 hours when their mothers were busy. And when they had to go into that dark dungeon, in that dark hall, they had to inhale burnt plastic 40 times. And what happens when a child is inhaling a burnt plastic, that child does not feel hunger for next 12 hours. So they are thrown there and with the small pieces of crackers, and they have no hope. Can you imagine that situation? There are people like we can see around our world, people who are not able to help themselves, people who are like this man who was paralyzed, who needed help, and people who do not have any hope. 20 million children around the city of Dhaka in Bangladesh, around the city of Karachi in Pakistan, and around the city of Calcutta in India, who are facing permanent brain damage. And the reason of that is because the drinking water they have contains lead. 20 million children under the age of 3 have that permanent brain damage. And then list goes on. And think about those people who are dying every day without Lord Jesus Christ. No hope. They are headed towards the destruction. Romans chapter 10 verse 14 said, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? So the first category is represented by this paralyzed man who represents people who are not able to help themselves, who have no hope, and who are like this paralyzed man spiritually. The second category is represented by these four men who came together to help their friend and who formed a team. And these people knew, these people had love for this man. These people knew exactly where to take him. They knew if somehow they will get him to the feet of Jesus, he will be completely healed. These men had compassion. They had courage. They had conviction. They had commitment. They have cooperation. And they felt that compulsion. And during this week, when we talk about love is, and there are many things, many definitions we can come up with. I would say we can learn from these people that they form a team of four people. And first of all, we find that they had compassion. And love is compassion in action. Compassion is not just a feeling. Love is not just a feeling for someone that comes and goes, but compassion is a sense of shared suffering combined with an action to reduce such suffering. There is an action into compassion. If we just feel sad and don't do anything about it, we are not doing the things. You know, we pray that God will break our hearts with the things that break his heart. We pray that God will give us burden. But until and unless we do something, we really do not have compassion. It's many times we find that Jesus has compassion when he saw the crowd. He saw the crowd that was like sheep without the shepherd. He saw the lepers. He saw the untouchables and the outcast and the people who were rejected and who had no value. And he touched them and he healed them and he accepted them. And he gave them the sense of worth that they were extraordinary people. They were not outcast. Do we have that compassion? Do we have that compassion? And Faith Promise gives us an opportunity where we can show our compassion by giving sacrificially. So love is compassion in action. These people had compassion for their friend who was paralyzed. Not only these people have compassion, but they have courage. They have courage to take that person. They have courage to face the crowd. In spite of the crowd, they moved forward and they had courage to do things that were unusual. They climbed up on its roof, and it says in a very Americanized way that they opened the roof. They didn't open the roof. They broke the roof. and they had the courage to do the things, whatever needed to be done. In spite of the crowd, in spite of the barriers, they opened the roof and then they lowered the mat that paralyzed man was lying on and they brought him to the feet of Christ. We Christians are those like those people who have courage. We have to have courage, whether we are in India facing the persecution or whether we are in America standing on the biblical principles and saying what is right in this, saying right what is right in the sight of the Lord. Someone has defined saying courageous person is a person who knows the way, who goes the way, who shows the way. Courageous person is the person who knows the way, Jesus Christ, who shows the way, who witnesses Jesus Christ, and who goes the way, who follows Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the courageous person. No matter what comes in our life, we must move on and we must do the things that God wants us to do. Not only they had compassion and courage, but they had conviction. And love is having that conviction in our heart. Love is having that conviction that no name under this heaven and above this earth has been given than Jesus Christ which men can have salvation. Do we have that conviction that Jesus Christ is the only hope for this world? Do we have that conviction that Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life? Do we have this conviction that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind which we must be saved? Do we have that conviction whoever believes in the Son shall have eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life? And love is having the heart of conviction. When we have that conviction in our heart, we reach out to the people who are untouchables, people who are unlovable, and we take Jesus to them and bring them hope and meaning in their lives. Esther demonstrated that when she stood by herself in front of the king, knowing that she could lose her life. But she wanted to save her people, so she stood up in front of the king saying, "If I perish, I perish." Ezekiel stood in the valley of dead and dry bones and preached to them, knowing that through the power of the Holy Spirit, God can raise a mighty army through the dead and dry bones. Elijah was bold to stood against the false prophets of Baal. Daniel demonstrated that when he refused to bow down to the statue of the king and was willing to be thrown in lion's den. And when they had this conviction and courage, God blessed them. There was amazing witness that made impact. You know, when you think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God did not save Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fire, but God saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. God did not save Daniel from the lion's den, but God saved Daniel in the lion's den. God did not save Lazarus from the grave, but God saved Lazarus in the grave. And as we stay courageous and convicted and compassionate, God is going to do some amazing thing as we give sacrificially and take the step in that of faith and make a promise to Him. They also have commitment. They were committed. No matter what comes, they are going to take their friend to the feet of Jesus Christ. They were committed. Robert Murray McShane writes in his journal about two young Moravian missionaries. And when I read this and when I heard this, I was amazed. This doctor friend of Robert Murray McShane had gone to the southern part of Africa. And he saw this town, and this town was amazing because there were really tall walls built around a huge section of this town. And he didn't know what was going on. People didn't talk much. And there was one door. There was only one door. And door was locked from the outside. So he became curious, and there was a hill, so he went on the hill, and what he saw broke his heart. He saw there were literally hundreds of lepers living within those walls and had no hope, and they were waiting to die. Hundreds and hundreds of lepers. So Robert Murray McShane wrote, his friend who was a doctor, he wrote a letter to a university and asked if there were young men who would be willing to come and save the lives of those lepers and be missionaries to them. There were two young men came in their 20s. In their 20s, they came and they said, we are going to do it. They made a commitment to God that they are going to serve those hundreds and thousands of lepers. So they went to the city officials, and city officials said, well, you had a great mission. You want to go and serve these lepers, but you have to sign an agreement saying that you can go in, but you cannot come out. And door was locked from the outside. Those two young missionaries said, those two young missionaries agreed, and they signed the document. And after signing the document, they went inside the doors. And I'm sure in a few years of time, they died because leprosy was contagious. There's nothing written about them. But they made the commitment that even if they can go in and will never come out, they were willing to give their lives, and they saved the lives. Even their bodies decayed, but those leper souls were saved, and they were able to bring hundreds and hundreds of lepers to Lord Jesus Christ. And as we make this commitment of faith promise that somehow if God is going to provide, we are going to make the sacrificial offering. We make this commitment to the Lord. Lord is going to do some amazing things around the globe and in Savannah. That is his promise. That's what history tells us. According to a survey, it says if every Christian make a commitment to reach 700 people, please hear me clearly. It's great that there are several teams from Savannah Christian Church are going around the world. That's wonderful. But are you reaching your community? If every Christian is making a commitment to reach 7 people in 1 year's time, there won't be any unreached people in 1 year's time. We will be able to reach the entire unreached people's group within 1 year of time. It's doable. We can do this. I was reading this number, and it says, please hear me clearly, if 88 jumbo jets fully loaded with the passengers crashed every day, 88 jumbo jets fully loaded crashed every day for 1 year, it would still not be equal to the amount of the people every year die without Jesus Christ. The third category, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time in this parable, is those who were among the crowd, who were observers, who were not even willing to let these four men carry this paralyzed man to the feet of Jesus. They became barriers because they were just observers. And how many of us just become observers, just nominal Christians? And that's the problem. One story which really touched my heart in early 70s, long time ago, I was in the school, was a testimony of a girl who was a widow, young widow, who was living at the border of India and Pakistan, but on India's side. The night when the war broke out between India and Pakistan, that same night, that girl was raped, gang-raped twice. So next day, that girl comes to the police station and tells her story. And she said, you know, it's sad to face the war. And it's tragic to be gang-raped by those people. But you know what? The first group that came and raped me, they were wearing uniforms. They were soldiers. And the second group that came, they were also wearing the uniforms, but their uniform was completely different. The tragedy is this, that I don't know who were our enemies and who were our protectors, because those with their act, those soldiers have lost their identity. How many times we as Christians do not become salt and light? How many times we lose our identity and become just the observers? And finally, in the category, the fourth category, Jesus Christ is there. Jesus Christ is here. And if and our goal through faith promise, through our commitments, through our sacrificial giving, is to bring people to the feet of Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus saw their faith, it says, he said, "Son, can you imagine that paralyzed man who was living in that mentality of hopelessness? He heard the words, 'Son,' from the Savior. Your sins are forgiven." And not only that, he received the physical healing. He received Jesus. He received eternal life. He received forgiveness. He received much more than what was expected because of the love his friends have for him. Very briefly, as I conclude this message, I want you to see some people you may never see on this side of eternity. I want you to know what happens when you give sacrificially. I want you to know what happens as a result of the faith promise here that you make a commitment. When you make a commitment, when you give sacrificially through faith promise, there are orphans who are being fed in India with Central India Christian Mission. They have food. They have clothing. They have shelter. They have wonderful staff who teaches them about Jesus Christ. And you are supporting these orphans who were like my mother's father and my father's father, who were orphans. One was raised in, was born in a Hindu family, the other one was born in a Muslim family, but they grew up in an orphanage. And missionary named them Samuel and Jacob, and they became teachers, but they knew Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, here I'm standing and sharing the gospel with you. When you give, when you make a promise, you support our evangelists like Sarath, who is working in Orissa and risking his life every day because he can be killed. He told me in my office that every day when he says goodbye after having breakfast with his family, his wife and his children know that Sarath may never come back that evening. He may be killed. You are supporting an evangelist like Sunny. When he accepted the Lord, his house was set on fire. He was beaten. He was taken to the prison and he was tortured. But Sunny has planted 5 churches and has brought thousands of people to the feet of Christ. When you give through your faith promise, you help our church planters to be trained in Darjeeling and in Damo, who are committed to go to the unreached areas and risk their lives. When you give through your faith promise, when you make a commitment and give sacrificially, you support us to go and drill wells where people can find safe drinking water. They don't have to walk miles. And not only they find safe drinking water, but they find the living water in Jesus Christ. And in those areas, there are believers somewhere, 30, 40, 120, and 180 believers where we were able to go and drill the well. And many, many came to accept Jesus Christ. When you make a commitment through your faith promise of Savannah Christian Church, you help us to rescue children from brothel. These 11 children who were rescued from a brothel, who would have gone into sex tourism. And what was amazing, that some of these children did not have any names. And when we asked the mothers, they said, "How can we give them a name? They don't need any identity. We don't know who the father is." They don't want to be stamped that they are from the brothel, so there was no name. When you make a commitment through this faith promise, you help us to support over 600 widows who get $2 a month from the government and whose children don't care for them. Last year, our family decided not to give any gifts but help these widows, and 70 of them received that cataract surgery, and they were able to see, but we are helping them with clothing and food, and above all, we are reaching them for Jesus. When you give through your faith promise and make a sacrificial offering, you help us to translate the literature into Bundeli language, the language of 50 million people. You help us to translate the literature for Talibani people in Afghanistan. you help us to help the persecuted people like Subhashini, whose husband was cut into pieces in 2008, August 23rd, when persecution broke in Orissa. And not only that, her little baby was thrown on the wall and was killed. And not only that, she was 60% burned as they poured kerosene oil on them. And she, after a few years, she came to our office, said that she wants to serve the Lord. She wants to serve the children. She wants to tell Christians that go and share your faith. If she can share, why can't you? Love is giving. Love is serving. Love is going beyond our duties. Love is praying and loving your praying for your enemies and loving them. Love is going beyond extra mile. Love is self-sacrifice. Love is living and serving and sacrificing like Jesus. Love is not only believing in the right things, but doing the right things. May God bless you.